This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Gina Conti is going to join us from the Wake Forest Women's Program, and I do have the top hat right behind me, so she'll be good to go on that. And Dallin Cuff will join us later this hour as well. If you just rolled out of bed or if you're working on the West Durham second cup of coffee and you love ACC men's basketball in particular, last night was not your night. In fact, it was ugly. Only way to describe it. We played seven games.
No.
The good guys won one, and that was the first one in a dramatic comeback by the Miami Hurricanes. We were down 15-1. They were down by 20 in the first half, came back and won the game without star Chris Likes. And after that, Wes, straight downhill. Nothing was good. Six more games, all losses, close, some blowouts. I mean, it was just it was a rough night. Rough night.
We try and work on this show through a veil of transparency, right?
Always.
And optimism. Wouldn't
That's
you agree, Pac?
Always. Tell you the truth.
Yeah. And I got to be honest with you, folks. Today's a hard day because not only did the ACC go 1-6 last night, what you got was still more of what you don't know as opposed to what you might be finding out. And if you think it's concerning for fans of the schools, it's certainly going to be concerning for the coaches. But as my partner tweeted last night, if you need to know night one, the scoreboard from the ACC Big Ten Challenge, the Big Ten 6, COVID now 3.
3 for COVID.
And the ACC 1.
Yep.
Yeah. COVID added another one to the tab last night when, before midnight, Virginia announced that they had a positive test amongst their basketball tier one, and therefore the ball game with Michigan State will not happen. No idea on Virginia's return to action, things like that. But nonetheless, that's now three ball games that have been shelved due to coronavirus concerns and positive testing. So of the games we've got, and let's value them while we have them, but in the case of the ACC, some real hard takes last night. We'll start in Durham late night because we told you on yesterday's show Indiana, or Illinois rather, would be packing for war, and they did. The Fighting Illini came out of there fighting last night to start. Kofi Coburn inside. Look at the big fella go to work with the right hand. You know, it's a talented team for Coach Underwood, and they are physical. They are tough. They guard you. And they can knock it down from the perimeter last night, and Illinois met the challenge of the Blue Devils at Cameron.
Wes, 58%. That's what Illinois shot. And it was pretty easy at the rim, too. It looked just like a bunch of grown men playing a bunch of kids. And it looked very similar to the Michigan State game a week before. The only difference was Illinois was up 14-2 last week. Sparty was down 13-3. Other than that, from that point forward, bigger, stronger, more experienced, and Coach K's got a lot of work in front of him. They've got a bunch of talented young guys. The season is in its infancy. We're only 2 weeks into the season. But, you know, there's not a Zion Williamson walking through there, right? This is a different feel. Now, again, every wave of one-and-dones, sometimes you got the superstar guys, and I'm not telling a guy like Jalen Johnson can't emerge. I mean, he was awesome in his debut with 19-19. But, hey, when you go up against experienced quality teams, you kind of find out where you are in the early stage of a season. And Coach K is going to roll out of bed today going, man, we got a lot of work to do at Cameron Indoor. I mean, that, you know, the home court advantage, no fans there, that's now been kind of taken out of everybody's arsenal from that perspective. I think it's one of the reasons the Florida State-Indiana game will be interesting tonight because the Noles have been so great at home. But, man, there was just – you watch that game and you never got a sense that Duke had any chance of winning the game. They were really never in the game. It was never a situation in the second half. Hey, it's down to single digits. They're making a run. Nah, the other team was just bigger,
right. Stronger,
and better. And so, hey, you pick yourself up, you get back to work. So Coach K will get them going, but there's a lot of work to be done at Cameron Indoor.
Yeah, a thread, by the way, also, Duke was outscored 24-8 on fast break last night. Matthew Hurt again led the Blue Devils in scoring. He had 19-7. You see the sophomore go to work here in the first half of play last night. Io Desumu had a dozen rebounds last night to go with another double-figure effort for Illinois, his third double-double of the year. Duke will probably fall out of the top 10 next week, and Pac already gave you the numbers on that. March 4, 1996 is the date that the ACC did not have a team in the top 10. March 4, 1996.
461 consecutive weeks in the AP top 10. And that streak is in serious jeopardy next week of being snapped. And again, I use the example of SEC football, which has been consistently good. And the SEC has had at least one team in the top 10 for 336 weeks. It just goes to show you the amazing run the ACC has been on. But there is a distinct opportunity that the ACC's top-ranked team, which this week was number 10 Duke, coming off a double-digit thumping at home. Maybe somebody else can jump up. Well, you look right behind them. It was North Carolina, Virginia Tech. Well, guess what happened to both of them last night? They took L's. So you really got to wonder, an amazing run could come to a screeching halt next week, but we'll deal with that. But right now, there's some blue bloods in this league having to deal with the fact that, hey, like I said, there's a lot of work to be done.
Another ACC team that fell victim to a fast start by the opponent last night was Carolina. Iowa raced off to an early lead. The common thread for the Hawkeyes all night long was three-point shooting. They've got one of the most talented players in the country, Luka Garza. But it was Frederick and Bohannon last night that did the damage for the Hawkeyes. 16 threes for Iowa in the win. Bohannon had 24. Frederick also had 20. Garza was fine, but I'm sorry, 17 threes it was for Iowa last night in posting the win over Carolina.
I thought the Heels did a good job covering up Garza inside. He still went for 16 and 14. He's that kind of player. But when you throw all the bigs inside and say, no, we're not going to let the guy go off on us, you leave dudes open on the wings, and, man, Iowa lit it up. That is a really good club. But I told you earlier, the thing that I at least saw out of North Carolina was a fight when they took a massive punch right from the get-go, and they had the lead, 68-67. They fought, took the lead. But to give Iowa credit, from that point on, they go on a crazy run and put that thing rearview mirror. And, again, at the end of the night, Iowa was a better team than North Carolina. Same kind of deal. So, again, Roy, I thought Roy put it well when we ran that. Yeah, go ahead. I thought Roy said it best after the game.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about. Here's Coach Williams after the game talking about his team's got to get tougher.
I'm not into moral victories, but I think we're getting better. But start of the game, we just didn't defend the way we had talked about and the way we had worked on. And then in the middle of the second half, we make a great run, and then we miss a key box out two or three times, and then it gets even later than that, and we went to the free throw line three times and go 0 for 2. And so there's a lot of things that we've got to get better at. I love my team. They're a wonderful group of kids. We've got to get tougher. We've got to get tougher.
Amen.
There you go.
Coach is right. Got to. All the way around.
What do you think?
No, he's right. He's exactly right. I mean, and I think the same thing with Mike Krzyzewski's guys. That, you know what? The other guys are tougher. And, hey, if you want to get to where you want to be, again, there's still plenty of time to get better. But right now, as we play these games, you watch them and you can see it. Totally different. Totally different beast.
Yeah. I still think we got a tremendous amount of unknown. And I'm a little concerned about the stop and start that we've had in football trickling into basketball here. We talk about the three games that obviously have been taken off the board. Think about those games, though, Pac, from a Louisville perspective, an NC State perspective, and certainly a Virginia perspective of things they would learn before we get to conference play. And I'm not sure now how much we're going to get before we get to conference play. Does that make sense? I mean, I just don't know how much you're going to get games. They're going to happen. But how many you're going to be able to get before we get to that run of continuous conference play, the 18 games, that face the ACC once we get past the the holiday. We're probably going to enter conference play with a lot more unknown than we have in a long, long time, I think.
Yeah, but it's been that way for everybody, though, Wes. You know, practices have been disrupted.
No question.
So, I mean, it's to me, that's kind of a wash, because it'd be one thing to say, listen, you're the Big Ten in football. You're not going to start till October 24th. Everybody else got started in September.
Right.
That's different. I mean, everybody's kind of in the same boat. And the teams that you see that have experience, have a toughness, have grown old. You've heard that term a lot in basketball the last couple of years. You know, we got a good old team. Those teams right now have a huge advantage, even though they've had disrupted practices and COVID and all this stuff that's going on with disruptions and schedules. Those teams have an advantage. And when you see young teams, and again, this is not an excuse. Hey, your team is who it is. And we watched a team like Kentucky get waxed by Georgia Tech on Sunday. And you're like, man, that doesn't even look like Kentucky. You see a Duke team that's kind of gotten physically manhandled by Sparty and Illinois then last night, and you go, that doesn't even look like a Duke team. Well, they'll get better, those kind of clubs. Roy Williams, again, Hall of Fame coach, talking about, hey, I saw some things that look good, but we got to get tougher. We got to do the little things. Good teams, the well-coached teams, that'll happen. But teams that have experience early have a huge advantage, and I think you're seeing that around the country. When you watch teams like Gonzaga and what Baylor's doing,
yeah,
you got grown men playing, and you start taking on a bunch of kids that, you know, think they're all world. Guess what? There's some good talent all over the place, and there is a difference between a guy that's 21 versus a guy that's 18 that thinks he's ready for the NBA. Big difference.
Oh, and no question. I think the other thing too, you saw last night in an Iowa team, if you've got veteran guys and you got them at the key points on the floor, Garza, you know, Frederick, Bohannon, guys like that, plus you got a little bit of depth off your bench, you know, and, oh, by the way, you can shoot it. That's going to carry you a ways. I was pretty impressed last night with Iowa to be the number three team in the country, and, you know, it's early and you're still trying to sort things out, but I saw a lot of things there where Garza didn't have to go get 30, and, you know, from the nine-minute mark on, they kind of cruised last night, you know. That was an impressive statement by a team that might be capable of challenging a Gonzaga or a Baylor down the road too.
That's why I want to see Florida State tonight. That's why Florida State Indiana is such an important game. Big picture for the league and for the Noles. And again, we'll get some more answers. But it's unfortunate that we're not going to be able to see Virginia and NC State and Louisville get really a quality opportunity to play. But hey, it is what it is. It's going to be that way the rest of the season. So you got to deal with it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Dallin Cuff is coming up here in about 15 minutes or so, but it's time to talk to another great student athlete of the Atlantic Coast Conference, and we head to my city of Winston-Salem, home of the Wake Forest Demon Deeks. Gina Conti joins us. Gina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
All right. We got a lot to talk about now. Before we get to any hoops, I'm going to go first academically. You know, the burden that all of you have been under since the middle of the summer just to be in the position to compete is one thing. Then you've got games. That's another thing. And, oh, by the way, there's a thing called academics, which always comes into play in the Atlantic Coast Conference, especially at a school like Wake Forest. How difficult is it, given the fact that I know it's got to be close to the exam week, if not over with? How do you tie all that in together? Because there is a lot on your plate.
Yeah, definitely. So right now we are in exam week. So I had an off day on Monday, actually. So I went ahead and knocked out all of my work and stuff that was due early. I went ahead and did it on Monday. So definitely I would say time management and, you know, prioritizing once practice is over with. Okay, when can I start to do my assignments? So that's been kind of our go-to with throughout the team.
No procrastination, right? You get right to it, knock it out, and let's get to the next thing. That hey, Wes, that is everything that me and you are not, right? Gina's like, hey, come on,
that's
bring it on, let's
go.
And me and you're like, yeah, all right, mañana. We'll get to that thing tomorrow. Forget it.
Gina, we've talked to a lot of student-athletes through the fall, and now we're starting to work our way into the winter sports, and obviously more basketball players than maybe others. So I want to go back to when you came back to campus and had to work through the fall knowing that games would be late November, early December, and yet you had to start doing the things that it was going to take in order to play, the protocols, the processes, all those things. Did you kind of say, okay, man, are we ever going to get started? Then, once you've gotten started, has it changed in terms of its intensity for you? Because the reason I'm asking that is we found that to be the case with some of the football guys. When they came back in June, they wondered if we're ever going to get to play. And then once they started, they talked about the intensity of it changing.
Yeah, most definitely. I would say when we got back, it was kind of just like, you know, what's next? And we were told to kind of just take it day by day. And, you know, like be grateful for every opportunity and, you know, follow the protocols. And, you know, when we are given the next day and the next opportunity to take advantage of that, you know, and be excited to play and compete. So once we were able to do like small groups or be on the field together, just like with conditioning in preseason, I think that was very exciting because, you know, we were able to play with each other again when our moment got taken away from us at the end of last season. So then the intensity of once everything got started, I would say we gradually progressed to get back into things. And then once we were on the court, things got more intense, but also I think our adrenaline was there. We were super excited to be playing together again. So that's something that we were able to look forward to. And now that it's season, you know, we're taking it game by game and, you know, we're grateful for every game that we get. So that's been a blessing.
Gina, we're 21 of 21 from the line. You're taking a great deal of pride in that. I can tell, right? All right. 21 of 20 stinking one. That's pretty good, my man. Hey, listen,
Why are you talking about it?
I just say, you know, Wes.
Why are you talking about it?
Wes and I have always talked about being free throw shooting experts, but all of a sudden you come on here at 21 for 21. That's pretty good. I'm telling you, you got that going on.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I mean, a free throw is just a free shot. It's kind of like people say, "How do you miss your free throws?" or "How do you miss your layups?" I guess I've almost gotten a little bit lucky. I practice them, so I'm glad they go in. But, you know, it's almost like a layup. I'm always going up to shoot it, and, you know, I'm hoping it goes in. So I guess same thing with my free throw so far.
How many of those do you fire up a day? I mean, listen, there's got to be a secret to this. So, I mean, on a given day, you will shoot how many free throws?
I mean, I try to get in 100 at least a day, but if not that, like we get them in practice, and then after practice, when I stay shooting, I'll definitely work on my free throws as well.
Wes?
All right. Gina, first of all, it's Packer's fault completely that he started talking about the free throws. What? I wasn't going to bring that up because, unlike Packer, I'm not going to drift into that stuff.
Wait a minute. This has got nothing to do with broadcaster jinx. We're talking about a player. Gina's rocking it. She's 21.
Well, no, she's
you got to brag about it. This is not a broadcast where she goes to the line and you go, "You wouldn't believe she's 21 of 21," and all of a sudden, clank, and we go for the whole jinx. It got nothing to do with a jinx on a show like this. This is bragging about 21 of 21. Big difference, Wes.
All right. Gina, just wipe all that from your memory bank.
There
okay,
you
here we go. You and Ivana Raza came in at the same time 4 years ago, and with Coach Hoover, it's gradually just kind of been ascending, if you will. You guys continue to develop. There's more of an experience core. Now that you get into the ACC, here's a game tomorrow night with Carolina. It's an important ball game, right? It's a conference game. Do you feel like at the end of last year you guys won some games in the tournament, you kind of pushed it, and then everything kind of got shut down? Now do you feel like, okay, here's our chance to maybe pick up and regain that momentum we had when we were at the ACC tournament last year?
Yes, for sure. I would say, you know, we just have a lot to prove and a lot that we want to show. So playing an in-state rival tomorrow is something that we're all looking forward to. It's also our first home game of the season. So being a senior, I know that that's super exciting too, you know, and there's nothing like playing on your home court. It's probably going to look a little different than it did last year due to not having many fans there. But we do have cardboard cutouts of fans and family members. We practiced there yesterday and today, so that was super cool to see. We're super excited, I know, to play them and, you know, just to play on our home court again.
By the way, Gina, your coach, Jen Hoover, had a delivery here to the house in the studio a couple weeks ago. Let me show you one of the things that she brought over here. Well, actually, it was her husband, but it was from Jen and from actually the whole team. Got a card. Unless you're not aware of this, you got one of these right here. You got one of these right here, Jen. Jen Hoover hooked us up with one of these. What do you think, Gina? You got one of these bad boys right here. What y'all coming out with these top ends?
I'm going to have to ask Coach for an extra.
I don't know if
you can. He looks just like our mascot.
Here's the thing.
I know it. Isn't that disturbing? There's no question. That's the sad thing about it.
He does look just like the mascot.
Yep. Look at that right there.
Twins.
Yeah. What do you think?
Jim rocked. I tell you what else. You want? Let me tell you what else that was delivered. I don't know if you know anything about this.
Golly, Pete.
Sutler's Gin from Winston-Salem. Are you aware of that as a senior?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Let's see. We'll keep you away from that. We'll keep you away from that.
Good answer. Well done. Okay. Gina, top 10 in assist. You have had a remarkable run, 3-year starter. I know you started some even as a freshman. But yet you're from a suburb of Columbus. So I have to ask the question, how did Wake Forest enter the picture here for Gina Conti?
So Wake Forest entered the picture. It was through there was this thing in Ohio called like Top 64. It's like Ohio Girls Basketball Report. Mm-hmm. And it was like my freshman year. There was a bunch of college scouts there. So I guess they had saw me at one of the it's kind of like you kind of do like a little camp almost in a way to display your talents. And then you'd play like a little like scrimmage at the end or whatever. So one of the assistants at the time had saw me there. And then I guess that's how communication started going.
What's your take of the rest of the league? I mean, I know you're controlling what you can do. You just finished up with exams. It's just hard to just say, be in a position to compete. But I know you probably had to take a sneak the other day when NC State went down to number one South Carolina and knocked them off. And Louisville's now bumped up to number two in the country. Syracuse has a really good club. The team you're going to play with North Carolina is off to a good start. You guys are looking to make a splash. This league is really, really deep with quality teams. So what do you see other than your own team?
I would just say that just kind of goes to speak for our conference. Being in the ACC, you know, every team, you know, has talent. So I would, and also the start of the season, you know, with upsets happening and things like that. So I think day in and day out, like, it doesn't matter really necessarily the ranking or the preseason ranking. It's kind of like, what is your team bringing on that given day and how well are you prepared to win? So I would just say it goes to show to that.
All right, I want to follow up with you on something here. And if you don't want to do this, you have every right to say no because you have no idea who we are. But if I happen to walk into your kitchen right now and open up the refrigerator, which is right behind you, what would be the most disgusting thing that I would find in that refrigerator right now if you opened up the door?
All right, so the most disgusting thing I could actually...
Go ahead.
I don't have any prosciutto in here. I don't know how you feel about that, but
that's all right.
That looks a little bit frightening. But I would say... You might get grossed out, or you might like these. A Yoo-Hoo.
Oh, old school. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, so.
Sweet.
I don't know how you guys feel about those, but I have like a 24-pack of Yoo-Hoos and water in there.
Wow, that's fantastic. I love it.
Wait a second.
I love it.
Wait. Pack, I hadn't had a Yoo-Hoo in 100 years.
I haven't seen one
in forever.
How in
the world do you end up? How do you end up with Yoo-Hoos, Gina?
Okay, so I guess it's just like my dad and I, when we go to AAU tournaments or something, I would always get beef jerky and Yoo-Hoo. I don't know, maybe he started me drinking it, but that was just like my go-to. Maybe it was like my pregame snack.
Beef jerky and chocolate water.
Oh, that
Gina,
is so great.
Yeah, that's nothing but chocolate water.
I love it.
I
love it.
Oh,
that is spectacular.
Oh, man.
That is truly spectacular.
That's awesome.
All right. I got to ask you this question, and this one is a lot easier than what we just did. You mentioned you just finished up with finals and so forth. At Wake Forest, I'm always curious for this answer. What has been the hardest course you have had at Wake Forest?
I would definitely say my research methods class, just because – you know, it's consisted of stats, which I didn't do. I have to take that class. So I had never taken stats before. So that was kind of challenging. And then we had to use some program called SPSS, which also I was unfamiliar with. And then it was right when COVID had sent us all home. And so previous to when we were at school, we were supposed to have a lab to teach us how to use SPSS. But then once we went home, that lab was kind of cut out and more just class time. So I was kind of like, okay, kind of relied on my tutor a lot for help on that. So yeah, definitely my research methods class. Not very good at stats.
Well, we hope to have you back because you are fun and you're off to a great, having a great season. Stay healthy. Load up on that beef jerky and Yoo-hoo. Now, I'm telling you, you can't go wrong with that. It's great for the immune system. And we look forward to watching you tomorrow and the rest of the year. We hope to have you back, though. But congratulations on all your success.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Gina Conti was really good. Really good.
Yep.
ACC Women's Hoops, man. I'll tell you right now, we got a number 2 and a number 4 and a number 20. Wake's rolling. Heels are doing their thing. Clemson's off to a fast start. And I'm worried about the men. The women are looking. The women are great. The men I'm worried about.
Wait. Goodness okay. Gracious. And here's Dallin Cuff with the news.
Yeah, exactly right. What's happening, man?
Doing all right, fellas. How you doing?
We're doing better than ACC men's
top
basketball last night. That was not a pretty scene last night. 1 win, 6 losses, a handful of games tonight. Indiana and Florida State will be a good one. I hope they all are. But how would you describe that last night?
Unfortunately, not surprising. This is the Big Ten, in my opinion, is the best conference in the country. And the matchups did not benefit the ACC, in all honesty. I mean, Duke playing at home without the crazies. Illinois is a flat-out better team. And being honest with you guys, Illinois was the underdog coming into this game. Vegas is rarely ever wrong. I was shocked by that. And that game played out much like I thought it would. They got beat in transition. They couldn't handle on-ball penetration a lot. Their offense is still so stop-start, and they're really trying to figure out what they're able to do and what they can do. Duke has a lot of issues, and Duke's ceiling is not as high relative to Duke. When we talk about Duke, obviously we're talking about national championships. We're talking about ACC championships. This is a team that if they can get in the top three in the ACC, that would be successful in my mind, given what we have, what I think they're going to project longer term this year and the competition they have right now.
Dallin, the unknown is the biggest known right now. I mean, you know, Pack said this in the first hour. If we had to do accounting right now, I don't know where we would start. I like Florida State. I like Clemson from what I've seen. But what I know, I don't know. I know a whole lot that I could take very far into this season right now.
That's true. That's the issue. The known commodities. I mean, I think we do kind of know UNC. You know, you saw it last night. You know, Brooks playing on a little bit of a hobbled ankle. They've got De'Ron Sharp gave really good minutes against Luka Garza and that crew. They did a pretty good job. Offensively, again, they started slow. And Caleb Love and R.J. Davis have to take care of the ball and be ready to play 40 minutes for those guys and play through the bigs. And I think we know those bigs will be there. Do we know they're not going to be able to shoot the ball very well? Can the offensive rebound? We kind of know some of the knowns with UNC. UVA, we know a fair amount of the knowns in terms of some of their pieces. And I want to be really clear, guys. I think we assumed with UVA – we always do, because Tony's teams have been top 10 in defensive efficiency since 2013. We assume that they're going to be the best or one of the best defensive teams in the country. It's very clear. That's not a birthright. You got to go out there and earn it. You got to have 5 guys connected, 5 guys communicating, 5 guys in transition defense. The fundamentals they're not doing very well, which has now become surprising. Will they get it right? Will they fix it? I believe so. So I feel like UVA, UNC, along with FSU, we have a couple more knowns in terms of what they're capable of. We know Leonard's system. We haven't seen them portrayed on a larger stage. I'm excited for the Indiana game. I think we know Scotty Barnes is really good. I think we'll see that play out through the course of the year. Will MJ Walker be an alpha dog they need him to be? Those three teams I feel pretty good about. I think we saw some great stuff from Clemson, but can it be sustained over time? And the rest of the league, to your point, I think the knowns we do have are some problems. I think BC's been a pleasant surprise, by the way, guys. BC's been good. They've played a really tough schedule, had some tough losses. Should have held on to that lead last night. But the league overall, the top end is not what we, I think, would have thought or hoped or what we knew we thought going into the season. And the middle of the pack and the back of the pack may be slightly better, but comparative to other conferences, and particularly the Big Ten, they're just not – they're not on that level, period.
You know what really shocked me last night was Virginia Tech. That was the one game, Dallin, going into the night – that if you said, all right, Pack, you rank them. Rank what you think your most confident game is for an ACCW. I would have picked Virginia Tech, given the fact when I watched them play Villanova, they were out of sight. And Mike Young is such a good coach. The guys are buying into it. And I turned that thing on. It's 17-3. And, I mean, good night. I mean, that one was the one last night that I went, wow, I really don't have a handle on what we're doing from this conference yet. And I know it's still early. We're 2 weeks into it. But that score really surprised me.
That did, too, in all honesty. I mean, I thought that would be a competitive game. I'm pretty impressed with Jim Ferry has done as an interim coach at Penn State. For those that don't know in our audience, their coach, Pat Chambers, was dismissed right before the season started because of a scandal and some player abuse issues, verbal abuse issues, allegedly. So he was dismissed from the program. You lose some great players in that team from last year. And Jim Ferry's done a really good job. Seth Lundy, guy's getting 23 points a game, didn't score. And they won that game handily. Right? So what that says to me, and really when you watch the game, Virginia Tech could not handle the pressure. Penn State climbed up in them, punched them in the mouth, and they had zero response, which did surprise me. But when you watch them play VMI the other night, they were kind of going through the motions. That didn't look like the same team that was in Bubbleville, the same level of urgency, the same level of commitment, the same level of just ball movement and playmaking and desire to make a play for myself and my teammate on either side of the ball. And then when you watch last night, that looked like the team from VMI, kind of walking through the motions. They can get ready to really pop back. And they're talented, but they're not talented enough just to roll the balls out and beat another high major team. I mean, they got to play their game. They got to execute. They got to play together. None of that happens. So I'm interested to see how they bounce back, because it started great and everybody's heaping praise on you, similar to last year. This team is very different than last year, but you still have to go out there and play the game the way Mike Young's asking you to be played. And that was the last two performances have not been that.
Dallin, you mentioned the Indiana-Florida State game. We all know that's a huge ball game tonight. Clemson-Maryland is intriguing. Maryland won the Big Ten regular season last year. They were going to be a high seed in the NCAA tournament. They did lose guys to the draft, but Turge is built enough at College Park that, you know, they're substantive year in and year out now in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, Clemson has got these wins. Mississippi State, Purdue, South Carolina State. Brad was with us on the show yesterday. I like their team. I like the combinations. I like P.J. Hall, the young kid. But here's the deal. You got to validate at some point before conference play starts. Is tonight the night Clemson has to validate?
Not has to, because in all honesty, when you play a 20-game ACC schedule, or we hope to be, you know, double-digit ACC schedule, they're going to have more opportunities to validate their performance this year. And I think, in all honesty, Purdue's loss to Miami hurts them in terms of what they had shown so far. And that's Purdue. Miami did everything they can. They played a very good game in the second half and defended really well, and the whistle really helped them. But why that hurts Clemson is just in terms of Clemson's wins and what you're looking at. You look at a Mississippi State team that's in complete rebuilding with Ben Howland. You're in a Purdue team that has struggled at times, but those are still good wins over high major teams. They don't have to validate tonight, but this one is more interesting to me. This is a Maryland team. As you mentioned, they lost Jalen Smith and Anthony Cowens. That might have been the best 1-2 combination in terms of point guard and you're a big man in the country to the NBA and Will Cowens to graduation. But Clemson has shown that they have a lot of different pieces, not just Amir Sims. Elmer Dawes has been good. Nick Honor, the transfer from Fordham, has been really good. I like how they're picking up a lot of full court and turning teams over. I will be interested to see how they handle Maryland's guards. I mean, Eric Ayala and Aaron Wiggins are two really talented players, and now the mantle's kind of been given to them with this squad and how they lead those guys. Daryl Morcell is a talented guard as well. So will they be able to speed them up and turn them over like they did Mississippi State's guards and Purdue's guards, which struggle a little bit in that realm, will be interesting to see. But overall, Clemson has been not so much a surprise. Like, we thought they could be good. I think the depth of what they've shown and how they've played, and even with that game, I think it was the first game against Mississippi State, Sims fouled out in 8 minutes with 5 fouls. I mean, he didn't do anything in that game. But they won by, I think, 9 or 11 points, and they took control of that game, particularly in the defensive end. So they don't have to validate tonight. I think the league, for saving face, would be helpful for them to get a win over a Maryland team that's kind of in the same space. I think both these teams we think they could be middle-of-the-pack teams that could maybe challenge to get in that top 4 and 5 in the conference. And this is a night for both of them to try to put on display what they're capable of doing. So it's not just Clemson. Maryland's coming in hungry, trying to prove themselves all year. Both these teams will be battling to get themselves, like I said, in the top 5, but also secure a resume to get in the NCAA tournament, which is easier said than done.
Don, we talk about the middle of the league. We're not going to see NC State, who may be better than advertised, but, you know, the UConn game got postponed. We're not going to see them against Michigan, given COVID. Clemson will give you a chance to get a sample of that later this afternoon. But we did see Miami last night, and you just mentioned the Purdue game. you know, for Miami to win that game down 15-1 right out of the gate, down 20, and you're doing it without Chris Likes, who's a dynamic playmaker and leader, that was a really, really great win. And I know we're kind of reaching to find a positive here, and because that was the one W last night. But where would you put Miami based on the fact they found a way to win without Likes on the floor last night?
I think, I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from that team and that performance, because he's the leading scorer returning in the ACC, like in career points. He's got over 1,200 points. He's the highest scorer in the league. So to take him out of the lineup affects your team offensively for sure. But defensively, where their biggest weaknesses are, and Jim's been real clear about this, you know, he has to lead defensively by, he's not the most vocal guy, but by actions, by doing the right things, by setting the point of defense and having guys follow behind him. And him out of the lineup, they looked like a lost team early in that game. They found their way. They grew into the game. They also did benefit, no doubt, from the whistle. Zach Edey, a 7'4", big man for Purdue, got two or three of those offensive foul calls that I thought were really bad. Trevion Williams had a couple bad calls on him. So Miami benefited from that. Their bigs got fouled out. The front court of Miami was not exposed in the second half because a lot of those guys were on the bench. And when they had that opportunity, they seized it. They played well together offensively. Cameron McGusty was outstanding. They shared the ball. And they did clean up their defensive glass, which has been a huge issue. It's not just defending. It's can you get the ball out after that and leave it to one shot and get going the other way and get your transition game going. So I was impressed with how they battled back given the circumstances. I'm still not sold on them long term. I think that's another team that, you know, great to win without Chris. But again, will you be able to do this night in and night out and actually, again, build a resume to get to the NCAA tournament remains to be seen. Offensively, they got a ton of talent. And Nasir Brooks in the middle is holding things down for them. I thought Gack gave good minutes last night, too, early in that game. So they're going to have to try to grow, particularly in the front court. But that's a win is a win, and then they'll be happy to take that when you're down 20 at home and come back. So that's important for them. But as they go forward, there are still, like we said at the beginning of this thing, a lot of question marks with almost every team in the league, and they have quite a few.
You know, I'd like to see, not telling you how y'all to produce your show tonight, but I'd like to see you and Farnham and Manning go to a touch screen tonight, like John King style. I'd like to see you guys on a touch screen all breaking down plays, because at one point last night, you and Farnham and Manning were all talking about, you know, ball movement and guard play and things like that. I'd like to move that over to a touch screen, have some video support for that if we could get that tonight, by the way.
I believe they call it preaching to the choir, Wes. That's what that is right there. We would love to do it, too. We just don't have any time. As we're always told in the halftime, guys, those things are boom, boom, boom. And in my current role with Manning, who, you know, won a national championship and Farnham and played at UCLA, my job is to be a little more point guard and distribute there. So I'm trying to get them where they want to go from a video perspective. We would love to get into stuff with the touch screen. I just know we're not there. There's sales elements, there's highlights, and those take precedence over trying to get into some stuff.
We
do those longer field shows sometimes. We can get into it. We fill between a game for 20, 30 minutes. But unfortunately, a lot of breakdowns with nothing but net. Whenever we get that show going again, we will definitely have more film breakdowns for you guys and some all ACCs. We'll mix in some film, and that'll be more myself.
I'm going to mind my own business and let you guys produce your own show, but I am going to ask you this question before we get you out of here. The Portuguese word of the day is what?
Unfortunately, it's fitting. Sura, S-U-R-R-A, which means it's an old school butt whooping. That's what that is right there. Sura. Uma Sura. That's what we got going on right now.
That's exactly right. Well, hopefully, again, today's a new day, and we'll see what the ACC can deliver. Hopefully, beginning this afternoon with the Clemson-Maryland game. But you're right. Last night was not pretty. You can't sugarcoat somebody taking you to the woodshed, because that's what happened last night.
And in all honesty, guys, the league needs it. There are so few non-conference games and so few data points as you look forward and hope we get to an NCAA tournament in March and April, wherever it is. You've got secure non-conference wins to show that when you get in conference, you cannibalize yourself. You're not just beating up on weaker teams. That's what happened last year. That looks like what could be happening this year. Hopefully, guys, today will show up, get some wins for the league, and turn this thing around. Maybe I'll have a different word of the day at midnight tonight. But right now, it's Sura.
Got it. Spot on, boy. As always.
All right, be well, D-Cuff. Good to see you, my man. Be well. You're doing a great job. Appreciate it.
Later.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
All right, here's a look at the women's basketball schedule. Boston College is at Georgia Tech. How about number 2, Louisville? Is it Duke? Tonight, and Mighty Elon, Charlotte Smith takes the Phoenix Over to Valvano Arena at Reynolds Coliseum on KYAL Court tonight to meet number four NC State. So Charlotte Smith and the Phoenix go over to Raleigh tonight, Pac. Mighty Elon.
I hope they're getting a nice check.
Women's basketball in the ACC.
I hope they're getting a nice check because let me tell you something. Westmore, after they knocked off number one last week, bumped up to number four in the country, they'll be ready to roll tonight. NC State, Wolfpack in the house.
Yeah.
They're getting the job done.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome back. Final stretch of the show here. Yesterday, after the show was over, we had a wonderful conversation with Virginia basketball coach Tony Bennett.
Yep.
That talked a lot about the ball game tonight with Michigan State, a little bit about the preseason and how it was going to impact the game against Michigan State and all the things that were going to be a part of Michigan State in the game tonight that he would take going forward. Well, our crack production staff here at Packer and Durham, all the folks who the dozens of people, Packer, involved in helping us get this show on the air every morning, have taken the interview and removed, since the game was canceled tonight by virtue of a COVID test within the program, we have removed all the things and mentions of Michigan State from the interview with Coach Bennett.
20-minute interview.
So here is, 20 minutes. Here's our interview with Coach Bennett, sans all the Michigan State stuff.
Us smart folks in the media, and by the way, I had nothing to do with it, picked Virginia to be the team to beat in the ACC for the first time since the early 80s. Was there a smile on your face when you heard that, or did you go, hey, nothing but noise, man, nothing but noise?
Can you repeat that? I actually didn't hear that. Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
That's it. We had a 20-minute – Bennett's always good, insightful, was giving us some unbelievable cool stuff yesterday, and 11:35, no game. And the first thing I thought of was, boy, I wonder if we're going to run that Tony Bennett interview tomorrow. Probably not now. And that's all we had left over that we could use from it. That's it.
There you go. That was it. So, which brings us to the schedule tonight, night two of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. We'll get to the Mark Packer scoreboard in just a moment. Starts at 5 o'clock this afternoon. You'll get Maryland and Clemson. By the way, the Terps and Tigers meet for the first time since Clemson bumped Maryland from the ACC tournament in what was their final ACC tournament in 2014, right? Indiana at number 20, Florida State, 7:15 tonight. Georgia Tech at Nebraska, also a 7:15 start. And then 9:15 from the suburbs of Chicago, Pittsburgh at Northwestern. Those are the four games remaining. By going 6-1 last night, the Big Ten has already captured the challenge. Playing for pride tonight, Pack. Playing for pride.
Well, it is interesting, of the four games, there's only one ranked team amongst them, given what's happened. But I think that Indiana-Florida State game tonight is an important game for all parties involved, and maybe even more so for the ACC, given that 1-6 mark from last night. And, you know, we all would look at Florida State as one of those teams now in the league when you start talking about the shades of blue and, you know, what Syracuse has been able to accomplish and throughout their incredible traditional history and so forth. But Florida State and what Leonard has built, this is an important game for the league. And again, I'm not telling you it's a make or break. I'm not going that crazy on it. It's a game in December, for crying out loud. But from a pride perspective, Wes, last night, not good. 1-6. You can't spin it any other way. The ACC would really, really like a Florida State W tonight. That would be good for everybody's soul to see what happens with that problem. And I think it would be a really entertaining game, too, by the way.
Yeah, I think Clemson-Maryland will be a good ball game. Be interesting to see if Georgia Tech can kind of keep the momentum from the win over Kentucky, too, Pac, from Sunday, right?
Yeah, like which Georgia Tech are we going to get? The one that can't handle Mercer or the one that made Kentucky look like, that's cool. That's really cool what you guys got over there. But I don't know, Wes. It's so early in the process, as you keep pointing out, and you're right. You just don't know what you're going to get on that front. So, again, hopefully we come back here tomorrow morning with some more positive things to discuss as far as wins go. But last night was a tough night. But we move on and we see what we get on a Wednesday.
By the way, also tomorrow, Mark, we have the start of week 14 of ACC football, because tomorrow night in Midtown Atlanta, we get Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
How about that? We got Thursday night game.
Like I told you earlier this week, we have an interesting selection and collection of accounting games in the league. I mean, we know Notre Dame Clemson will hook up next week. That will get all the attention. But there's a lot of interesting teams kind of connected at the hip in accounting that are going to see each other this week.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.